At Easter and at Christmas, we have the same subject for each of those occasions. And so I talked this morning about the birth of Christ, and at Easter I'll talk about the resurrection. So settle in, and we'll try to look at some things that perhaps we've not seen before. But we'll be talking about Bethlehem this morning. And Bethlehem is where God chose for his son to take on human flesh, become God-man. Bethlehem, meaning house of bread. There were many Bethlehems in the nation of Israel. So Micah 5 identifies this Bethlehem as Ephrathah, or house of fullness, fruitfulness. Bethlehem, it was a country town. It was a shepherd's town, and not a town of renown or a city of fame. It wasn't a Rome or an Athens or even a Jerusalem. But 700 years before Jesus' birth, Micah, Old Testament prophet, pinpoints Bethlehem, a small town just 5 miles outside of Jerusalem. So why Bethlehem? I think it's because it was a shepherd area. Shepherds were outside of the what we would call the respected lifestyle of Israel. Bethlehem happened to be a farm-type town. It was full of flocks of sheep, flocks that were owned, many of them, by the priest of the temple in Jerusalem, where they would offer up sacrifices. But Bethlehem fits the character of Jesus. Jesus claimed to be meek and lowly. He went riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, not a stallion, but on a donkey. He was meek and lowly. And it's only fitting that the birth of Jesus be in a humble shepherd town. Jesus, chosen by the Father for a humble beginning. Jesus, in his selection of disciples, he chose humble fishermen, for the most part. And it pleased our Lord to choose foolish, uneducated working men to be his disciples. Fishermen, one was a tax collector. The only one we would have probably chose was Judas. He was kind of a religious guy, and he was the one that betrayed Christ, but he was one we would probably recognize the most. But Jesus chose to associate with humble, working people. Jesus purposely chose the humble. And in Luke 2:1-7, we read of a Roman decree that Joseph and Mary had to abide by because they were subject to Rome. And Joseph was of the house and lineage of David, and he had to go to Bethlehem. So let's read Luke 2:1-7. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was, while they were there, that the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the end. Verse 1, we have a decree that all of Rome and all their subjects, which was Israel, a decree by Caesar Augustus that all of Israel should go to their hometown and be registered there in that city. Joseph was from the area and lineage of David, or Bethlehem. And he takes along with him Mary, his betrothed wife. This was a census, but it was really a taxation co-registration. You pay it, had to register with Rome and pay your taxes and that sort of thing. So Joseph and Mary go up to Bethlehem, the house and lineage of David. And therefore, we have a time and a place of Jesus' birth, and it's documented by Rome. Time when Caesar decreed Judah was to register, an order from Caesar himself. The place, Joseph, you got to go to Bethlehem because you're of the David lineage, a small shepherd town. Now, Mary, who is pregnant by the Holy Spirit, her time to have a child has come. And Jesus is born in a stable. More likely, it was a cave opening. But Mary wraps Jesus in swaddling cloths, lays Jesus in a feeding trough or a manger. Now, the sights and the smells of a manger are prevalent. Animals have odors, damp, prevailing odors at this time of year, especially sheep. Their wool gets wet and you can smell them. So this decree by Caesar is accomplished. God using the Roman government for his purposes. So here we are today. And Israel is at war with Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran. And once again, we see God directing the affairs of Israel in they're at war in this small area in Gaza, part of Israel. We Christians can openly see an end-time scenario developing here. It's being accomplished right before our eyes. You watch the news and you read scripture, and they coincide together. And all the trouble in Israel and all their battles are being fought against evil, satanic leadership in these other nations. And all these Islamic nations, for the most part, are against Israel. I firmly believe we today are living in the end times. Call me old-fashioned, call me whatever, it doesn't matter. But the Middle East wars are being played out right before our eyes. Hamas, it has an evil agenda. And they must be fought against. Israel declared war against Hamas. So Israel now finds itself in a war. And we, in the United States, we, in our military might, have aircraft carriers off the coast of Gaza, along with other warships that are right there present. Perhaps this is the end times, where nations gather against Israel. We will see. These wars could be a precursor to Armageddon. That's the day we live in. But let's go back to Bethlehem, and we'll look at that in verses 8 through 14 of Luke 2. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Christ, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." And so you have the birth of Jesus there. Bethlehem, a farming community, had many shepherds, had a lot of sheep that the priest owned that were there at the temple in Jerusalem, and flocks abounded in Bethlehem. And you have lowly shepherds watching over them. Now, shepherds were considered unclean, and they lived out among the sheep. There was no purification type services for shepherds. They were known as outcasts. Not only that, shepherds were of a lower caste system. If you couldn't do anything else, you could be a shepherd. A shepherd could not be used in a court decision as a reliable witness. They said, "Oh, he's a shepherd. We don't take that witness." So who does God use to spread the good news of Jesus' birth? Shepherds. An angel, Gabriel, declares, "For unto you is born a Savior, Christ the Lord." So the shepherds feel that they must go and find this Savior because he's born unto you. He's born unto the shepherds as well as all of Israel and all the world. And the babe will be wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Swaddling cloths were not comfy little blankets, but they were strips of cloth, and they were typically used in the burial process. So these swaddling cloths are a sign that Jesus has been born to die. Right as a baby, he's wrapped in swaddling cloths, and he's to die for our sins. And the shepherds look upon this angel. Suddenly, there's a multitude of them, and there's a host praising God. And the message, whether it's spoken only or sung, we're not sure of, but the message goes forth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. And let's conclude the reading of Luke 2, 15 through 20. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard as it was told them. The shepherds realize we have a duty, we have a responsibility to make known what we have been told and seen by these angels. So the shepherds go in haste. They hurriedly go to find Mary and Joseph, and they find the Christ child, and he's there laying in a manger. And upon finding Jesus, they broadcast the good news about Jesus. All who heard, the shepherds, marveled at what the shepherds were declaring. Notice the declaration of the shepherds is received by those in the Bethlehem area. And here we are at Christmas during this year of 23, and we can wonder, as Christians, we can wonder, who will receive our good news of a Savior being born to us, the true meaning of Christmas? The shepherds realized they were privileged to hear the good news of a Savior being born. As believers, we're privileged to know what Christmas is all about. We know the meaning of Christmas. Now, the shepherds didn't need to be told that they were lowly and only a shepherd. They realized their plight, their job description. A meek and lowly person is who God uses to broadcast the good news of his son, the Savior, being born. The shepherds were bold, making known the truth of Jesus being born. Christmas is a time to be bold in revealing the birth and hope that we have as Christians in Jesus. Shepherds were used to broadcast the wonders of Christ being born. Let this news also come from us as believers. I challenge you, don't get caught up in the hustle and bustle and the gift-giving of Christmas, but know what Christmas is really about. Jesus coming, taking on the form of man. Mary, who has just given birth to Jesus, she thinks about this. She ponders all the events, and she ponders them in her heart, and she wonders how all this can come about. Years later, this family, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, will be accused by the religious leaders of sexual misconduct. They had to get married. Mary was pregnant. Jesus is accused of being born out of fornication. And the priests and religious authorities declared to Mary and Joseph, we were not born like Jesus. We were not born in sin. We had a rightful standing. So Mary and Joseph had to live with the accusations of being sinful to get married. Therefore, Mary has a memory of the shepherds glorifying Jesus at his birth, and she holds on to that memory. Remember Joseph, a righteous man? He had a dream, and in this dream he was so told, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for what she has in her womb is of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid to take Mary. Joseph, his reputation is on the line also. And Mary is accused of having a baby out of wedlock. And so they ponder, Mary and Joseph ponder the visitation by these shepherds who are declaring good things about the birth of this child. But God was well pleased by Mary and Joseph. And God has a message for the world. And he says, for behold, glory in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. And here we are, 2,000 years afterwards, and we have the same message that that God gave the shepherds. Behold, a Savior is born to us. We are blessed people, to say the least. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer.